Sarah, we find ourselves in an unusual place today.
Yeah, this is really not the spot we usually come to spot wildlife, but for the creature that we're looking for today, it is a perfect place.
We were alerted recently by a bird watcher that a giant building in Montpelier was going to be a great place to see birds.
So here we are on the top of the National Life Building with Ross Sneed from National Life, who has graciously allowed us access to the roof so that we can see some turkey vultures. Ross, thank you so much for letting us come out here.
Well, welcome to National Life. We're glad to have you.
Ross, about, what, 10 years ago you guys started noticing turkey vultures roosting on the rooftop?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot more of them more recently than that, probably the last 4 or 5 years.
Are they only here in the springtime, or do they stay all through the summer?
We tend to see them well into the summer. What's amazing is, you know, they're so close. They'll oftentimes be roosting right outside a window, and you get a really close look at a kind of ugly bird.
But, but everyone is fascinated in the building, I hear.
Oh, yeah, it's the talk of the building.
You know, it's really nice to hear that people are taking an active interest in a bird that, well, not a lot of people are interested, and a lot of people think of turkey vultures as gross and disgusting, so it's wonderful to hear that people are excited to see this bird.
A lot of people do think it's an ugly bird until you start to learn about the adaptations it has, Sarah.
You do, but just looking at it, it's, you know, it's not pretty. It's not like a beautiful, colorful songbird or anything, right? Because they have this funky-looking, wrinkly, bald head.
But why is it bald?
Well, it's bald because they stick their head into dead stuff, and who needs feathers getting all that dead stuff?
That's right. It's a great adaptation, that bald head.
Well, and so if I'm looking up at the sky and I see some birds soaring, Kent, how do I know that it's a turkey vulture and not something like a bald eagle or a black vulture?
Yeah, because it could be one of those. But the great thing about turkey vultures is the way they soar. They soar with their wings kind of in a V shape, and they'll often teeter-totter back and forth in the thermals and the wind up there.
You never see them flap, almost never.
Hardly ever. And the other cool thing is often you'll see the ends of their wings, the feathers, spread out, like you'd spread your fingers out on your hand. They spread the end of their wings out so they cut down in turbulence while they're trying to soar up there.
And so it looks kind of like fingertips.
Fingertips up in a position of a V, rocking back and forth, you got yourself a turkey vulture.
And if you get a really close look at them, then you can kind of see the bright red head that we were talking about.
Yeah, they're lucky enough here to get a close look, and I hope we do soon when they come in here.
Oh, hey, hey, hey,
coming in.
Ask and ye shall receive.
There they come. It's flapping a little bit because there's not a lot of wind, but also, look at it, it's in the V shape, rocking back and forth, just like
that's
we said.
Perfect, and maybe if we got out of their way, they'd come over here and roost and catch some sun, which brings us to the question of, what on earth are they doing here on this rooftop, and why would they come here to roost?
Well, turkey vultures don't like cold at all.
Much like me.
Exactly. And so they come out of their roost, whether it's, you know, some big tree near here or something. They probably come up here in the morning to sun.
Right. And so a lot of the folks at National Life have said that they see them with their wings outstretched, just standing here on the roof. And that's one of the great adaptations of these turkey vultures, is that they can stand and warm up with their wings outstretched.
Yeah, this is a bird that really is a southern bird. And it has only recently arrived in Vermont. We didn't start seeing turkey vultures in Vermont until the 1960s. And then not until the 1980s do we find the first nest in Vermont.
And if you look at a range map of this bird, you'll see that their year-round territory is sort of from the southern United States all the way down to the tip of South America. But then when you look at their summer breeding ground, it goes all the way from the southern United States up into southern Canada. So which is why we see them up here starting in about February.
Yeah, they're early arrivals, and they kind of leave late. They don't leave until November. Again, they really need a place to get warm after a cold night, so we're on that spot. In fact, when he sailed by us just now, either he was headed towards 89 looking for a meal, or he was trying to come here to roost, and he was standing there looking like, what are those outdoor radio people doing? They're in my spot.
And that brings us to the fact that if anybody's eating breakfast right now, it might be the time to hold off on that, because we want to talk a little bit about what vultures eat and what are their strategies for finding food. And, you know, one of the questions that I had is, how on earth are they able to eat dead stuff and not get sick from it, right?
Well, how they find it, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
I know you love the chemistry behind how to eat dead stuff, but I also love the chemistry behind how they can smell. Because most birds have very little sense of smell. Right. Songbirds can't really smell. And vultures, especially turkey vultures, have a really defined area of their brain that allows them to smell really well. They can smell carrion from up to a mile away.
Right, and so when something dies, it starts to excrete these toxic gases that can be smelled, And turkey vultures have a great sense of smell so that they can find it.
And I've always been amused to think, like, if I was a turkey vulture, that that smell of, like, rotting flesh was like, wow, that smells great, let's go.
But here's the beauty of turkey vultures. It's not actually rotten when they get to it. They are kind of picky eaters, so to speak. They don't like things to the point... they don't like things to the point when they're putrid remains. They do like things that are freshly dead, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of like that sweet spot between fresh and bloat when the skin is just getting soft enough for them to peck through because they don't have really strong beaks. They don't have really strong talons. So all of these dead bodies that they find, the roadkill oftentimes, they emit these toxic substances, things that would be toxic to any other animal. And what some researchers found back in 2014 is that the pH of the vulture gut, the acidity, is right around zero. So basically what happens is they ingest all of these toxic substances and their gut just kills most of them off. But what's really interesting is that it can't kill some of them off, but the vultures just tolerate them. They tolerate things that are incredibly toxic. You know what? Even if you do think they're ugly, there's a good reason to have them here. They do serve a purpose.
Yeah, there's estimated to be about 18 million turkey vultures in North America. So that's 18 million beings eating rotten dead stuff out there.
And we got a lot of roadkill.
Rather than having them slowly decompose on their own, they're rapidly recycling them back into the environment.
Yeah, they're ingesting them and they're using them as energy. Yeah. So talk about well adapted to what they do.
The other thing is they tend to nest on rocky slopes. They like to be sort of in little caves or overhangs of rock, sometimes hollow trees if they're big enough, or even abandoned buildings, but inside where there's an overhang or shade. Because, you know, we talked earlier about they like to heat up here in the morning time, but they like to keep their nests cool. So these spots where they put their eggs are often 10, 15 degrees cooler than the surrounding cliffs or ledges that they're nesting on.
So we're not going to be finding any vulture nests. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
Up here on this.
Oh, he's coming right at us.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he's coming in. He's going to land on the building.
I'm not going to say this guy's a beauty, but
oh, he's coming right to us.
You can see his head. Look at him. Look at him.
That is remarkable. To be up this high, seeing him soar. With the mountains in the background, we have camel's hump in the background, and this bird just soaring along on these thermals. So he's landed over there finally on that other rooftop. We're at the highest rooftop. Do you want to climb back down to the lower rooftop and see if we can get a close look at him?
Absolutely. Let's go see.
All right. I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
Let's go catch us a turkey
vulture. Yeah, I want to get a closer look at him.